Hello, and welcome to Ruth Bears Witness, the podcast, where you can listen to the stories that I've written in my blog posts. Thank you for joining me today for my blog post entitled, Battling Cancer, Body, Mind, and Soul. It's a Sunday night. I check my calendar one last time to plan for my week ahead. Monday, get everything in order and grab a nice last supper with my husband. Tuesday, third round of chemo starting at 7 a.m. Oh, but wait. Hold the phone. I'm noticing for the first time in the last 2 weeks that I've been reading my calendar wrong. Chemo is tomorrow morning and I need to leave my house by 6:45 a.m. No! I panic and launch into a mini meltdown and my tear ducts are like faucets. I was counting on this last day ahead of me. I have to do all the things to feel ready to sit my body in that chair for over 6 hours and then attach a pump to myself that I carry around in a glorified fanny pack for another 48 hours of fun. I get through my meltdown and I scramble for a few last minute preparatory things to get ready. Sleep before chemo is always sparse and I get up at 5:45. Take my last shower for the next 54 hours. I eat breakfast and get plenty of fluids, and then my husband drops me off at the hospital where my mother will meet me after she steps off of the plane. First stop, I head to the fourth floor and do all the lab tests to make sure I'm good to go. Then I head down to the coffee shop on the third floor as I wait for my test results to come back. So I'm sipping my caramel macchiato when my oncologist steps into our appointment and throws some crackers at me and says, "Eat something. Your glucose is super low." Huh? I ate breakfast before I left. That's so weird. We go through our usual routine. I give her my list of side effects and disease symptoms, and then we go over my blood work. No chemo today. It's too dangerous when you don't have enough neutrophils. Your immune system isn't ready for it yet. Wait, what? Do you know how hard I worked my head game to get my body in here? My mom just landed from out of town to help me out for the next several days. What? I checked myself. I nearly wrecked myself. I cannot begin to explain how upset I was. It took all my self-control to absorb this news with any modicum of civility. And I love my oncologist. So I stormed out of the hospital after texting my husband to come back to get me. Thank goodness we only live about 8 minutes from the hospital. This second cancer has helped me to realize why we call it a battle. Why those of us who get this diagnosis are called warriors or survivors. And why we are trying to beat cancer. It's kind of violent language. It's a battle of the mind and the will. For every dose, I'm always fighting the intense urge to run away from that damn infusion chair. I have to psych myself into sitting still and knowingly allow strangers to pump my body full of poison and knowingly allow myself to feel extremely sick and exhausted from that poison in hopes that it knocks out every cancer cell trying to invade my body and kill me. That's just the beginning, though. Because I don't just poison myself to keep my body from full-blown invasion, I have to rid my body of many parts that were or are impacted. After this second round, I will be like a bionic semi-woman. With breast cancer, I lost most of what society and science says makes me a woman, including estrogen. I artificially aged my body to keep any cancer cells left from feeding on estrogen, which makes them grow very rapidly. The stage 4 adenocarcinoma of the appendix that is spread all over my abdomen, I will have to have cytoreductive surgery with HIPEC. Basically, this is hot chemotherapy injected directly into my belly, and they will roll my body all around so the chemo thoroughly gets into every corner. Many of my insides will be removed and or reconstructed. Apparently, the success rate of this chemo is off the charts. Fantastic. But I am terrified because recovering from that will not be quick, easy, or comfy. Just one more thing I will have to psych myself into doing, and I am not there yet. All this takes a toll on my person, right? Body, mind, and soul, all interwoven. In so many ways, not as much as you'd think. As a person of faith, I see myself as a created being. I was lovingly, painstakingly knit together with my parents' DNA. The breath of my Creator is in my lungs, and the fingerprints of the Most High God stamped on my personhood. My laugh, my skin, my love of green and cobalt blue, my affinity for music and sweets, my dislike of dill pickles, my imago Dei were all created carefully. 100 surgeries altering my body so that I can continue to walk the planet as it orbits the sun for a while longer doesn't change me in my core. No, it helps me to see how precious life is, how precious God sees me, and how precious God sees you because you were created by a God who says that we are loved and we are good. I think our bodies are extremely precious to God, more precious than we recognize. We spend too much time separating ourselves from our bodies from the early stages of life, and we are told in so many ways how we don't measure up to some ever-evolving standard. But we are complex beings, and what we do with our bodies, whether we take care of them or trash them, what we think about ourselves and what we think about other people and God, affects how we treat our bodies and how we treat other people. What or who we commune with or perhaps feed into our spirit and soul matters a great deal to our bodies and minds. But we believe we can separate these basic elements from one another, and we think we can separate ourselves from each other. But those are big, fat lies. We are losing any sense of personhood in ourselves and in others. Therefore, we are losing what it means to be in community. We treat each other with contempt and utter carelessness, even over matters that aren't essential to basic common courtesy and decency. We hide behind keyboards and scroll past one another rather than live fully in the moment in front of us with the people standing next to us. All of us do this. I think about Jesus, humbling himself and becoming a flesh and blood person to live like we do, living in less than ideal circumstances, if not impoverished. I think about how he touched whom society deemed untouchable with his own two woodworking hands. I think about how he embraced his earthly body in all its humanness, and then gladly gave it over to us for our own sake and reconciled us to himself and each other for the love of God. And I think about how at times Jesus asks us to partake in that divine sacrifice and suffering in our bodies alongside him. Only so Jesus can show himself beautiful in us and through our bodies in a million different ways before our bodies give way to the ground. We will see Jesus as he is, and we will be fully known from our insides out. And I think God knew even before I was fashioned that I would be asked to fight cancer more than one time. And I think if that is what I have to do, even if I don't understand it, then I can give it my best shot. But only if it means Jesus can somehow shine a little brighter in a very dark world. So I will continue to learn to love the body God has given me and honor the body that God has given you. I will honor the image of God in me and love the image of God imprinted upon you. And I will keep fighting because there is so much at stake, body, mind, and soul. To read or listen to more Ruth Bears Witness stories, please visit ruthbearswitness.wordpress.com. Thank you for joining me today, and God bless you.